Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Go ahead and open your book, your Bibles or your iPad or whatever you use, your phones, to the book of James. The book of James. You know, the more I read the book of James or the letter that James wrote to the, it says he wrote it to the 12 tribes that were dispersed around the geographical region of Jerusalem. And the more I read this, the more it is so obvious that Holy Spirit wants us to, if I could say this, think like He thinks and see things like He sees things. And how many know it's so much easier when we have the same perspective as He does to flow with Him. You know, I know there are a lot of folks out there that they, like we talked about last week, I believe it was last week, we talked about the fact that, you know, the tendency is, it seems like, in the folks that name themselves as Christians, the tendency is to latch on to what feels right about how God thinks rather than how He really thinks. And we want to make sure that we fellowship with Him around the things that He agrees with the way we're thinking on. And so this morning, we're going to hit a number of things in this letter that James wrote. We're still in the middle of the series on Holy Spirit, Your Best Friend Forever. But how many know it's a lot more fun to hang around your best friend when you guys think the same? You know? And so here in the book of James, he mentions, or we call it the book of James, it's the letter that James wrote. He mentions a number of things, and it's all really tied together. He talks about, first he talks about, understand that the approval and the authentication of your faith will produce endurance in your life. We need to understand that what He gave us works. Everybody say that. What You gave me works. So going into any challenge or any situation or any tough thing, you need to go in with the mindset that what He gave you works. Not, oh God, I hope it works. But that it works. You know, here's the challenge is this, and you'll find this in this letter. The challenge is this, because James contrasts thought processes that come from you and come out of your head versus those things that originate from Him. And it's important that we recognize what things come out of our head and what things come from Him. You know, for the longest time, and I know I've taught this before, the longest time, you know, I spent my time and my energies trying to, quote, develop my faith to where, you know, I thought my faith was good. But the challenge with that thought process is you're trying to create something that's coming from you. Well, maybe if I pray louder. Maybe if I try harder. Maybe if I read more. Maybe if I confess more. Maybe if I fill in the blank. You're trying to muster something up. Instead of what James is saying is he's simply agreeing with what Paul brings out, that the faith doesn't come from you, the faith comes from Him. Peter said, I've given you, he's given you like precious faith, the same faith he gave me. And I love the fact that the Holy Spirit cared enough to show us what the faith that came out of Peter produced. He's given us the same faith. So when he gave it to you, it works. But the key is, and I think it was even mentioned this morning, the key is, it's got to be something that came from him. I remember when I was younger, and I was trying to get my bearings on the whole faith thing. And so I decided, well, I'm going to take my glasses, throw them in the trash. Well, actually, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was, here's what was bad about it. I decided I'm not going to wear glasses. And so I didn't. And so I had a roommate at the time, and you know, he wasn't what we call, quote, full gospel by any means, but he said one day, he says, you know, and this is before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and learned the gift of praying out of my spirit, but we didn't really know much, you know, and so we would read scriptures and we'd read the Bible and he asked me, well, you know, if you want glasses, I'll buy them for you. And so, you know, I didn't want to turn him down because, I mean, he's trying to be nice and all this. So I said, well, yeah, that's fine. You know, so I got the coolest ones I could find, you know. I got the ones with the graduated colored tint, you know. They used to wear those kind. And, you know, they were pretty cool, you know. And so I got them and I started wearing them, you know. And then later on again, I decided, you know what, I'm not using glasses. Well, that kind of made him mad because he forked out the dough for these. And I decided I wasn't going to wear them. But understand something. The decision not to wear them didn't come from him. It came from me. We have to understand there is a difference between you trying to leverage something by your actions and you acting on the revelation of heaven. And understand there is a big difference. When we don't act on the revelation from heaven, stuff doesn't go right. But when we do act on the revelation from heaven, you've already received, as so many of the writers in the New Testament said, you've already received the grace to stand. Because you came from heaven first and you got it. And so many times the challenge is we've thought for so many years that faith was something that we were responsible to develop. Faith was something that we were supposed to have more of. And Jesus, even the disciples said, hey man, give us more faith. And he's like, it's not about the size, dude. But faith is a communication from heaven. And if you've heard me say it once, you'll hear me say it the rest of my life. Faith is a communication of heaven telling you what belongs to you. Once you get that, now you're equipped to stand. And having done all, you stand. But you do not stand in a place where you don't have the revelation to stand. And so many times, even in the area of giving, we hear messages that try to get people to have faith to give more. And so they get excited in a moment and they say, I'm going to do that. But they didn't really get the revelation of it themselves. Somebody else handed it to them. And so they step someplace where they don't have the strength to stand. And then they get nailed and they have to go back to where they were standing because you can't stand on somebody else's revelation. You have to have the revelation from heaven direct. So our job is to farm revelation from heaven. Because Jesus already told you all things belong to you. So James is simply saying here in the first chapter that when you understand that the faith that is in you is authentic and it's been proven authentic, that produces endurance in your life and confidence in to stand where you're standing. And so he moves from that place. And he says, so therefore let endurance have its perfect result and that you'll be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Now there's a number of places in your New Testament where the writers of the New Testament. Paul writes over in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. And again, we've seen these verses. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace. Everybody say the grace. Understand that revelation from heaven is a grace. Grace is an empowerment. It was amazing. I was having a conversation with my wife yesterday, and we were kind of talking about some of these things. And she said, all the whole time I was in Bible school, I just had this gnawing question in the back of my head. Every time people would talk about grace, she said, it would sound an awful lot like mercy. And I would ask people, well, what's the difference between mercy and grace? And she said, no one could give you an answer. Do you ever notice, you ever looked up a word in the dictionary and you want to know what the word means, and to define the word, they use the word? So you're no better off than you were before. And so I didn't realize, I mean, she had just mentioned this yesterday, and she said, you know, I'm so glad the Spirit of God showed you what it is, because no one has ever been able to answer that question for me, why it is that everybody's conversation around grace always sounds like they're talking about mercy. So if we understand that the grace of God is an empowerment, and it's empowerment that's there because His presence is there. So whenever the Word of God talks about a grace, it's really talking about the presence of Him that's always present with us, and the empowerment that comes because of that. And so Paul says, I thank my God always concerning the grace of God which was given to you in Christ, that in everything... Everybody say everything. I don't know what's going on with this, but we need to... Let's try that. Okay. In everything, you're enriched in Him. In all speech, all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ, or some have said the Anointed One and the anointing that's in you, is confirmed. Now, your Bible probably says confirmed in you, but the literal translation, your margin may say this, as Christ is confirmed among you. How many know that's speaking of an interaction? That's speaking of an interaction with Him. It's the same thing that James is saying over in James chapter 1. He's saying, understand that the faith that He's given you has been proven authentic. But see, so many times our lack of involvement with Him in our past only creates insecurity in our future. Because everything that we're trying to, quote, stand on is nothing more than theory. Because we don't have interaction with Him. He never designed for us to just inherit a collection of print without there being any interactive confirmation of what He's saying to us. And so really, as we get into this letter of James, James is really talking about standing in this place of the interactive interaction with the Holy Spirit versus those things that come out of your head. And how many know this is a process? You're not going to wake up tomorrow and you've arrived. Because in every facet of your life, there's an area that He wants that we haven't quite made that adjustment yet. Because quite frankly, it's easier just to go into the Rolodex of the mind and pull off something that you're familiar with. How many of you know it's not comfortable to continue to grow and walk in areas you're not familiar? But the more we do that, the more we're willing to do that, the more we learn from Him, because as we step in, and as John said, the truth has a witness of its own that it wants to give us. So James is saying here, he goes on to say in James chapter 1, he says, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom or lacks how to walk this thing out, ask of God, because God, the nature of God is He gives generously to everyone. Aren't you glad He doesn't hold things back? He gives generously to everyone. That's enough to make you excited, man. And then verse 6, he says, you know, but you have to ask, or you have to literally, you have to require, in faith, or you have to require, as Galatians 3:5 says, you have to require things that are yours by right from the place of the vantage point of faith. Because faith is the communication of what is. So if we're going to require things, we have to require things from the vantage point of what is. Right? So he goes on to talk about the fact that a double-minded man, or literally we said this, that a man who prefers or selects another opinion as superior to that which the Holy Spirit, the Father, and what faith is trying to get over to us, that's someone, he says, that's double-minded, and that brings instability. And we understand this, that any time you get over into your own thought process and your own thinking in your own mind, things that come out of your own thought process that didn't originate from him, it produces instability. Everything in him produces stability. Right? So moving on, he says, he talks about in verse 11, he says, the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass and the flowers fall off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. And he says, so is the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. So now he's talking about a human being's focus. And we talked about this last week. Let me just give you this verse. In this letter in James, the rich man that he's speaking of is the same rich man and folks that are wealthy that in James 5, they withhold the pay of the ones that mow their fields. He cries out against the outcry of those who did the harvesting, has reached the ears of the Lord. It's the same ones that, he says, you've lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. And then, verse 6, you've condemned and put to death the righteous man because he does not resist you. But we have to understand this, because I have heard politicians quote something in that James wrote. And they do it because they're trying to prop up their agenda. But James didn't put this in here to prop up somebody's agenda. He put this in here. This is only one side of the coin. Let me show you what the other side of the coin is. Look at, go to Leviticus. Hold your place here and go to Leviticus. Because later on in this letter, James mentions an environment of not having a preference. And in this letter, he brings out, again, he brings out one side of the coin. In James 2, he says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in the glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. And I'm going to go to Leviticus in a second, so stay there. And then he says, if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed with fine clothes, and there's also one that comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay close attention or special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and you say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, and you sit down by my footstool. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? So, folks, you know, even in the political world, they see these things and see they use these things to prop up an agenda. The problem is if you go to, you're in Leviticus, go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, look at verse 15. Notice what the Holy Spirit says. It says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the wealthy. Is that what it says? What does it say? You should not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. See, the mindset and the thought process of your father, the mindset of our father is every human being is valuable, so you value individuals equally. You don't defer to one over the other. You don't defer to the wealthy over the poor. But part of the challenge the church has is we like to defer to the poor over the wealthy, when that's a violation of what the Holy Spirit says. We're supposed to learn the thought process of the Holy Spirit is, and from your father is, we value human beings. Now go back over to James. We value human beings equally. Whether they are of substance or not of substance, we value both of them. And you could take it, you could even actually take it out of the realm of wealthy versus poor. You could put it, you could just plug in any scenario there. Are we a people that no matter who we come in contact with, we esteem them valuable? Or do we notice what's wrong with them? James is saying by the Holy Spirit that we don't want to make a distinction among ourselves. You remember what Balaam said that God said about the nation of Israel, that he sees nothing, he sees no trouble in their midst. And, you know, you read a little farther back, I mean, there was a lot of trouble in their midst, man. A bunch of snakes came and just started having a heyday because they were wrong attitudes, wrong everything. But yet, when it came down to what the Lord said about him, he didn't say that. So, are we a people? Because, you know, I know it seems like I say these things a lot, folks, but we have to understand that if we want to see greater things in our midst of this Holy Spirit, then we have to think like he does. You know? And so, think about this. And you know what? And I've thought about this a lot, because pressure in the church is not to do this. What I'm getting ready to say. Pressure in the church is to go with what feels right, even if it's not right. Imagine, I want you to just go ahead and close your eyes. Just close your eyes right now. I want you to get a picture. Imagine you walk into Best Life Church, and you pass an individual at the door who is acting as greeter. And as they stretch out their hand to shake your hand, you notice there are slashes across their wrist. And so you greet them and you move on. You come into the sanctuary and you come into where you normally would sit, and you notice that there's two guys sitting together in your row. And they're dressed very nicely, very fashionably. And you immediately pick up the fact that they are gay. And then you make your way around the church and you see other folks that are decked out in all kinds of tattoos, jewelry, hair down to their waist. How does that make you feel? Do we get excited? Do we value them as people and just want to give them a great big hug and speak a blessing over their life? Or do we immediately say things that we expect them to make some changes. See, one sounds like a good idea, but it didn't come from him. Because what James is saying here is when you make distinctions among yourself, this is James chapter 2, verse 3, excuse me, verse 4. When you make distinctions among yourself, how many know that it's Holy Spirit's role to bring change in the lives of people? It's not ours. And James is saying here, if you go down to verse 6, he's saying, this, and what he's talking about is in the environment of preferring the wealthy or the poor, but you can put any scenario in there. And he's saying, if you draw a distinction between you and anybody else, you're dishonoring them. That doesn't preach real well in a lot of places. But yet, that's the mind of the Spirit of God. Will we be a people that any avenue of life will want to be a part of what we're doing because when they come in our midst, they feel valued? And it draws people to us because they feel valued. What are they experiencing? They're experiencing the value that their daddy has for them. And so, here in James, he says, verse 6, you've dishonored the individual. And in verse 7, he talks about the fact that, the wealthy that he's talking about, again, he's not talking about everybody that's wealthy, he's talking about the ones that he talks about in this letter. The ones that aren't paying their help, that are hoarding to themselves. And he says, they blaspheme the fair name by which you've been called. But notice it doesn't say anything about hating them. He goes on to say in verse 8, he says, however, you, if you're fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. And then in verse 12, we're going to skip around a lot because there's different segments I want to draw your attention to in this letter. He says, verse 12, so speak and so act as those who are being judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty. You say, well, what's the law of liberty? Well, do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So speaking and acting as though you're judged by the law of liberty, it could be saying the same thing Romans 8 says, that you now live under the new law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You've been set free from that old law of sin and death. So you live under the new law of the Spirit of life. And in James here, he goes from talking about the law of liberty, and then he talks about faith versus works, and he's talking about, don't say that you have faith, but you're equating that faith as just believing. He says, because the demons believe. I don't want the best I can do to be the best that demons already do. The demons believe that, and they won't acknowledge it to you, but they acknowledge it that God is the top of the food chain. So, faith can't just be believing. Faith has to be something else. Well, we've talked about that. Previous messages, you can go back and get those recordings, and I hope that you do. But he goes on to say, in chapter 3, he he talks about is the mouth, the tongue. And he says if anybody can bridle their tongue, they can bridle the whole entire body as well. And he likens it to the rudder of a ship. And then in verse 9, he says something very interesting. He says, speaking of our tongues, he says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. Now, let me ask you, the men that have been made in the likeness of God, is that just Christians, or is that every human being that breathes? So James is saying, first he said, don't let there be any favoritism to your faith. Don't prefer, and he used the scenario of wealthy and poor, but you can put any scenario in there. Anything that causes you to draw a distinction between you and somebody else, or one group against another, he says you're bringing dishonor on the one you're... And he says, with our tongue, it's not right that we bless our Lord and Father, but then we turn around, and the very men that he's made, we curse. Hold your place here. Let's review a verse. Go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And again, we talk about this is wisdom speaking, but how many know wisdom is the Holy Spirit? And so he says, well, let's just make a little quick little stop here in Proverbs 8, verses 17. He says, at the end of verse 17, he says, those that diligently seek me will find me. And then in verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. And then in verse 21, he says, that to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasures. So how many know the Holy Spirit has no problem with substance? And then he goes on to say, the Lord possessed me in the beginning in all of his ways. Now go forward to verse 30. It says, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. You can see the Holy Spirit here. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in what? Having my delight in the sons of men. So if, and it doesn't matter whether we associate this individual speaking to the second member of the Godhead, or calling, you know, the Son or the Holy Spirit, they're not going to think any different, right? So he's saying he delights in the sons of men. So now go back over to James, and we understand why James, by the Holy Spirit, is saying you are to do not draw distinctions between one group or another. Folks, this is tough. Unless we learn how to develop in him. Because natural flocks to like. Right? That's just the way natural man is. But we're not supposed to be walking in our natural man. Paul says, your man's dead. The person that now lives is him living through you. And he doesn't see distinction between one group or another, one wealth class or another. He doesn't prefer the poor over the rich. He doesn't prefer the rich over the poor. Clear across the board, his mindset is, you're all treasures, and I bought you all. So, you know, without getting political, I would say this. If the political voices are trying to get you to prefer one over another, it's time to start a new party. I'm serious. Because it's not God. One way or the other. I know that'll go over well. But, so he says in verse 9, he says, with our tongue we bless the Lord Jesus, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Imagine an environment, guys. Imagine us as Best Life Church, when no matter who we're standing in front of, or where we go, or who comes through the doors, we bless our Father, and we bless them. We let Holy Spirit do all the rest of that. And then we talked about the fact that he talked about what wisdom that comes from heaven looks like. It's gentle, it's peaceable, and its motive is to establish righteousness. So when folks come in your midst and they want to cause unrest, or as James says, they want to cause disorder, and they're trying to elevate themselves to, I've got the inside scoop on this, and this person or that person is wrong, understand and you recognize that that's not the wisdom coming from heaven. I don't care how spiritual it sounds. James tells us, and you can run straight to James 3, and you can remind yourself that James is telling us the wisdom that's coming from heaven looks a certain way, it acts a certain way, because its motives are a certain thing, and that is to produce the fruit of righteousness. Anything else is jealousy and selfish ambition. But then notice in chapter 4, he says this. He says, what's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not your pleasures that wage war against your members? In other words, it's coming out of your own head. It's coming out of your own emotions. It's coming out of your own motives. And the challenge is, folks, is none of us can see each other's motives. So, having said that, unless you're going to go off of what you see in the Word of God, like James said in James 3, then no one's qualified to judge a person's motives. Unless you're getting it from the Spirit of God, then you're qualified. So he says, you ask and you don't receive because you're asking with wrong motives. Because so you want to spend them on your own pleasures. Now look at verse 4. He says, you adulteresses. Now that must have stung, talking to the Jewish crowd that he was talking to, who was given to, adhering to a rigid set of environment, behaviors. And he called them, you're adulteresses. And he said, do you not understand that the friendship with the world, friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And then in verse 5, he says, do you not think, or do you not suppose, or are you not supposing, or are you not with this mindset that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? Do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? That he jealously desires the Spirit which he had made to dwell in you. Some translations say big S, some translations say little S. I'll submit to you, it doesn't matter. Because he's inside of you. And he put himself in you to have access to himself anytime he wants. Right? But it's interesting, these words here in chapter 4, he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world. Now that phrase wishes to be friend, it really is the thought process of this. Whoever has a need to be loved by the world system He said, if you have a need to be loved by the world system, now don't go over into the ditch, because this is where Christians immediately go. Oh, damn them all. I don't need any of them. I don't care if they like me or not. And then they just shoot their mouth off and they just, you know, all in the name of I'm telling the truth in love, but they're killing people. They're slicing and dicing them. So you can't go over in that ditch either, because that's wrong. Because what did he say in James 3? The wisdom that comes from above is gentle, it's peaceable. So, he's saying that those that have a need to be loved by the world system, you made yourself an enemy of God. And he says, do you not think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Or you could say this, it's empty in what it says, that he jealously desires the spirit which he's made to dwell in us. Now, let's go back for a second, just real quick, to that segment of scripture in Numbers 23. You remember the story we talked about a couple weeks ago where Balaam was asked to come by Balak. He sent some guys and he said, hey, get Balaam to come. And the nation of Israel is getting a little bit too big, a little bit too powerful. And so I want him to come and see if he'll come and pronounce a curse over them. And at first Balaam said, I'm not going. And then he decided not to go with the first thing God said. And he asked him again. And you know how that turned out. The donkey had more sense. And, you know, we talked about that. But so finally God said, okay, go, you go, but you're only going to say what I tell you to say. And so, revisiting this story in Numbers 23 verse 19, I guess look at verse 26. I think this is verse 26. It says, Balaam replied to Balak, did I not tell you that whatever the Lord speaks, that's what I must do? Whatever the Lord speaks, that I must do. 24 verse 1, he says this, Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Now, in the subject content that we're talking about, James is saying the mindset of the Holy Spirit is to not have preference for one group over another. He said it to Peter like this in Acts chapter 10. You remember on the rooftop, the vision, the sheet comes down, all the creepy crawly animals are in the sheet. And the Spirit of the Lord said, kill and eat. And Peter said, not today. And it happened three times. And while Peter was thinking about the vision he saw, he explains this later on when he's talking to Cornelius. He said, a voice came to him a second time and said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And then he says, the vision happened three times. The reason why the Holy Spirit wants you to know that it happened three times, because anytime something happens, is mentioned three times in scriptures, it's for sure, it's a done deal. It's not something that's up for negotiation. So straight from the mind of the Spirit of God, or straight from the mind of Father, he says, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And I submit this to you, because I believe that we're a people that we want to see greater interaction with Holy Spirit. So in that desire, are we also willing to bless and honor other human beings, even if they're under something? Because in one of the verses in James, James makes sure that we understand that it was by the will of the Father that he brought us forth by the Word. He came from His will. He initiated it. He did it on purpose. And His objective was to bring us forth. So our objective in interacting with the Holy Spirit in our life is our objective in every relationship that we willingly go into. Our objective is to bless, honor, and bring somebody forth. Not to put them under something. Do you understand the difference? Our objective is to bless, to honor, and to bring somebody forth. Because your Father was the example. He initiated it with you. He brought you forth by His own will. So by our own will, let's will to bless people, honor people, and bring them forth. Can you see that? And because, you know, he says in James, he says, look, the Father jealously desires the Spirit which He's made to dwell in us. He gives us a greater grace. Everybody say, a greater grace. A greater presence of Him. And a greater empowerment from Him. Therefore, it says He opposes the proud, or you could go back and keep it in the context of the letter. Those that are arrogant, those that are moving in jealousy and selfish ambition. Those that bring disorder. Let me just say this, because I know we can get in the ditch on this, and I'm going to close. But understand that, you know, we say that God's in a good mood. He is. But your scripture also does say that there's a wrath to come. Right? So which one is it? Is he in good mood or is there a wrath to come? Well, understand this. In the context of what he's talking about, the wrath to come, he's talking about the ones that have already made the decision and it's over. They've spit in the face of Jesus and said, I don't need you. Well, how would that make you feel? It's not like they're on the planet, they can make a decision. They've already made their choice. They've bought it, now they have to own it. But I submit to you that every human being on this planet, until they die, they haven't bought it yet. That's the difference. So our job, until they draw their last breath, our job is to honor them, to bless them, and to bring them forth on purpose. Because our daddy did that for us. Can you imagine the exploding environment in this church when every place we go, we don't care about us. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my comfort. It's not about whether I'm comfortable. It's not about whether I feel like it. It's not about anything about me at all. Because I don't really care. What I care about is if I spot somebody and the Holy Spirit draws my attention to them, man, the first thing I want to do without being weird is I want to go there and I want to bless them. Because nobody else is doing that. Nobody. There was folks that we talked to. And I know Greg is the same way. There's folks that me and my gang talked to. That the minute you begin to communicate to them and tell them that Jesus was for them and that he thought they were amazing. It just stood there and looked at you and said, thank you. I promise you no one has said that to them. And I purposely went after the ones that got all the wrong stuff according to the church. I know Greg's the same way. Imagine if the majority of people in this church, we all had this mindset that before I lay down tonight, I'm going to speak a blessing into somebody's life. And if that's comfortable, then I'm going to go the next step. And I'm going to talk to them about how God thinks they're amazing. And if that's comfortable, then I'm going to go the next step. And as one person said it, I'm going to drop the J-bomb on them. And I'm going to talk about Jesus. It's easy to talk about God. Because now it's just kind of, you know, their interpretation of who God is versus yours. But at least they're on the same page. But then when you bring Jesus into the conversation, now we focus these. Now it has a face. He's got a face. And they need to know that face is not mad at them. Imagine what happens in this city when the majority of the culture that is Best Life Church, this is who we are everywhere we go, any place, every place, all the time. And it's not about trying to build a church. It's not about trying to get, well, let me give you my card so I can get you to get here. Do I want them here? Yeah, I'd love to have them here. But I want to have them here because they experience the goodness of your daddy out there. Don't depend on the pastor man to bring Jesus. Let's just all do it. I had a guy, I'll close with this. I had a guy, and I love this guy, man. As soon as I saw him, the Holy Spirit leaped in me, man. And I told him, I said, I want you to understand something. God's excited about you. He says, he is. I said, yeah, he is. I said, what do you want God to do for you? He said, well, man, there's a lot of things. Now, we're talking about a guy. I'm not even going to go there. We're talking about a guy that most people probably wouldn't give the time of day. But I want my house full of those kind of guys. Because Jesus already gave him the time of day. And he said, well, what I want most is I want, and I forget the exact words he said, and I don't want to misquote him, but he said something to the effect of, I want to know my spiritual purpose on the planet. Well, here's a man, he's got an awesome chain on his neck, and he's got this sword hanging around his neck. And as the time passed after the fact, I thought about this, and I wish I had told him, and I'd probably go back and tell him this. But that sword around your neck from where I'm standing represents the fact that you're a man that wants to tell it, wants to bring it. You want to hear what your daddy is saying, and you're not afraid to say it. You're not afraid to introduce it into an environment. But how many know that you can look at any individual you come in contact with? I don't care if it's the tattoos that are on them, or the way they're dressed, or the jewelry that they wear. You can tell, and the Spirit of God will show you things about them that you can begin to pull from the prophetic that's in you, from the mind of the Holy Spirit, and you can begin to tell them, this is who you really are. Because they don't know. They don't realize why I like certain things. Or they don't realize why I wear certain jewelry. They don't realize why I got this particular tattoo. But from the Spirit of God's standpoint, it means something different than you thought it meant. We've got to be a people, folks, that we're not afraid of these things. My wife told me about a billboard. And I don't know anything about this. I didn't see it. I'm not even addressing the people behind it. I'm just bringing to your attention a thought process that is so not kingdom. They put on their billboard, God loves everyone, except if you have a tattoo, you're going to hell. Really? How many know God loves everyone? Let's just start with a period right there. And let's be a people that are not afraid to engage in folks that are different than us. And we're not doing it because we want to change them. We're doing it because Holy Spirit's excited about them. And we're willing to step into that mindset of Holy Spirit where if we'll just step out and start a conversation with them, and we can believe the Spirit of God to begin to bring the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. and begin to speak into their life things that their daddy sees about them, and let them experience Jesus talking to them instead of us just spending time talking about Jesus. Nothing wrong with that, but there's more. Don't be afraid. Don't run the other way. Because Paul told you, you come behind in no gift. The key is, let's just love people. Everything else flows from that. Did you get anything out of this today? Go ahead and stand up. I'll tell you what would be the most exciting time is as we begin to see this person or that person or this person, this individual in our midst, and a little bit of time, it's kind of like popcorn. You ever have one of those popcorn makers, you know, that you throw all these kernels in there and this little bar goes around, and for a while it's like, give me a break, man. They're just like, nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden, one little one, poof. You know, it's not even very big. It's just poof. And then all of a sudden there's a landslide, man. Everyone, in a matter of probably 20 seconds, the whole thing is blown up. Well, I can imagine that's kind of the way your daddy sees people in the church. There's all these people in the church and they all have Holy Spirit in them. But they're all like unpopped kernels. And then as things progress, one over there, poof, they discover and they experience the interaction of Holy Spirit in their life out there in the streets. And it's so exciting. And then they realize, so this is how he works with me. And then another one over in the other side, poof. And they realize, because they're willing to step out, they realize, oh my gosh, this is how it is. I love this. This is so much fun. And then all of a sudden, before long, the whole entire place just blows up. This is it, man. It's so much fun. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just love you and praise you. Thank you for that picture. Popcorn for Jesus. We just thank you and praise you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you for the giftings that you've put in them. And I thank you for setting us free into the fullness of you. And Father, if there's any situation, any mindsets that we may have that still may be contrary to you being able to release the fullness of who you are in the midst of a human being's environment, thank you for knocking those things down in our life. Because we are teachable, and we love you with all of our heart, and we want to come into the fullness of who you really are. And I declare this by the Spirit of God, that everybody in this room receives the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of how you think in all these areas, that all these things, even in the back recesses of our thought processes that are contrary, maybe we don't even know that they're there. Maybe we don't even know that we have, if I could even use this term, these biases, maybe we don't even know we have them. Holy Spirit, bring them out and let's just get rid of them. And along with it, all the fear that goes with it. Thank you for bringing us into the fullness of you. Thank you for bringing this church into the fullness of your heart's desire for this city. And I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Well, you know what? Go have a blessed week, because you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.